Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Man, I miss you guys. Miss being together. This whole thing of working from home and also doing the Zoom meetings and recording messages, the novelty is really wearing off quickly. I just want to be in person, you know. It's that thing. I'm not sure if you're feeling the same way as me, but I know feelings for people are all over the map. And this isn't easy to adjust to and waiting every day to see what's going to be the next outcome of it. Anyway, we're into just a two-week series. This is part two. And guess what? Next week, we are entering into, I'm actually going to be calling the series, Dear COVID-19, The Kingdom Has Come. And it's going to be about, we're going to focus on the whole issue of healing and just the broader scope of what that's all about and what it means for us as kingdom people. So you'll want to definitely tune in for that one. Now, today, I think it might have been mentioned earlier in the service this morning, but we're going to be doing communion today. So that means, how are we going to do that? Well, I'm going to take part in communion and you're going to join with me at your home. And so if you need to go get something to drink, something that resembles bread, it could be a cracker, it could be a bagel that you tear off, it could be whatever, a muffin, whatever you have there. It doesn't matter. What matters is what that represents. And this series we're on right now, it's just a two-week series. I've entitled it Dare to Resurrect. And the whole thing about that is Jesus has risen and he has extended new life to us. We have died to our old selves. We now have new lives. So what does that mean for us, for the church? And so this is part two. Anyway, so if you live in Cambridge, then you're probably familiar that if you go up into Preston and go be south, you'd come to the river. But if you get up near the about like Westminster Drive or maybe a little further west than that, you'll actually notice where there's like two bodies of water that come together. It's actually the Speed River and the Grand River as well. And they join and become one river, which is called the Grand River. And so that whole thing of coming together, there's a word for it, and it's called convergence. And convergence, what that means is it's about two things coming together, but the root word of verge actually means turning towards. So it's two things turning towards each other to come together. In John's gospel, he shares with the reader an intimate prayer that Jesus prays in chapter 17. And I'm sure if you've been part of as a follower of Jesus for some time, then you're familiar with this chapter. And in this prayer, so this is, you know, a couple days, maybe one day before Jesus is going to the cross. So this is a heartfelt prayer from Jesus. And in this prayer are these words that he prays. He says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. Further down, he continues, so they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. That's verses 21, 22, 23, just parts of each one, if you want to reference that. And what Jesus was praying here was for the convergence of God with humanity, God with people. And you know what? The whole thing about this turning towards, God has made the first move. God was the first one to turn towards humanity. And that goes right all the way back to the beginning. You see that in Genesis as God turns towards humanity because of the relationship that was broken. At the point where people become followers of Jesus, right at that point where they make that decision, that convergence, that whole convergence begins to take place. God's life intertwines with our lives. That's sort of what Jesus is really saying. And it's at that point where we become one with God, where God is in us and we are in God. And what I'm going to share with you today, I want you to take it to heart. I want you to ponder it because if what Jesus is saying is true, then it makes all the difference in the world for us, for humanity, and all the world in the difference for when we go through very difficult times like what we're going through right now. You go to Matthew's gospel, and right at the very end, Jesus is sending his disciples out. He's telling them to go out into the world and to share the gospel to everybody and teach them everything I've commanded you. Then the last words he says before he ascends into heaven, Jesus says these words to them. And he says, and be sure of this, I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's in Matthew chapter 28, right at the very last sentence of the Gospel of Matthew. That is convergence. I will be with you. That whole aspect of God being with us is convergence, the two coming together. Luke, he wrote the book of Acts, and he talks there at the very beginning of Acts about the Holy Spirit coming. And he tells the story of the disciples, you know, waiting in the upper room. Not just the disciples, but I think it was 120 believers waiting in the upper room and praying, because Jesus told them to wait until the Holy Spirit comes and empowers you. And when that happens, and that's named the Day of Pentecost, which will be May 31st, by the way. And when that happened, what you saw taking place here was convergence. As God was turning towards them, they turned towards God, and the Holy Spirit dwelt within. It was that whole thing with the Holy Spirit within us, is that's convergence. That's God and us becoming one. The church. Followers of Jesus are known as the church. That's what we're called. Now, we use phrases like, I'm going to church. Do you want to come to church with me? And typically what we're referring to there is of a building. And really, the whole thing, concept of a building, was not even in the mind of Jesus, not even in the mind of the disciples. Because really, the gathering of followers is a picture of the convergence that is taking place. God with people and people with God. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's that convergence of the two coming together. So going back to Acts, when the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, Peter preaches a message, and at the end, Luke records that there was about 3,000 people. See, God had turned to them, and 3,000 people turned to God and became followers of Jesus. Amazing story. And then you got to go, now what? So now what? You got 3,000. What happens now? Because they didn't have any blueprint of what this was going to look like. Well, Luke tells us that the believers made a decision. And no doubt this decision that was made would have been heavily influenced and even probably directed by the apostles of Jesus, because they would have been seen as leaders. And what they did that day, it was almost like they must have had the conversation. What are we going to commit to? What is the core things that Jesus has taught us as apostles that we should do as now this large gathering of people? And so they made a commitment to themselves, to something. They made this commitment. And what they were committing to, it wasn't a structure. They weren't committing to a statement of faith or a set of bylaws. And they weren't committing to a program or to a ministry. Those are things we do, but that's not what they were committing to. And what they were committing to actually was a way of being with each other and with God and God with them. There was a sense of life that was going to take place, and they were committing to live out this life. And you see, right from the beginning, the church wasn't an organization. It wasn't something that was sanctioned by the government. And what it is that the church is a community of believers, of people who have said, I'm going to follow Jesus. We're going to follow together. It's organic. It's living. It's breathing. It's this organism. And it's with each part in it that is interdependent on the others, and all of us dependent on God. And it's this, again, it's this whole thing of convergence, what the church is. And so Well, Luke records there in Acts 2, and it's actually Acts 2:42. And Luke says that they committed themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the sharing in meals, which included the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Those are the things they committed to. See, it was this life together that they committed to, not to programs, not to building, not to this other stuff, the very stuff that's been stripped away from us right now. Because see, that's not the church. That's not the heart, the essence of the church. Because you think about it, what they have committed to, the apostles' teaching, which is just a given, is what Jesus told them, what Matthew records, teach them everything I have commanded you. That's the apostles' teaching. The apostles had, what, 3 years with Jesus. And they would have had a wealth of things to teach people. So they committed to that. Why? Because they want to be like their rabbi, right? Want to be like their teacher, Jesus. They committed to fellowship. And that whole thing of fellowship, the Greek word is koinonia, but it just means this. It's this coming together, recognizing that we are one. We're not individuals, but we are one instead, one body. It's this understanding that I discover myself and who I am with you. We need each other. It's what we're wired for. It's interesting that they also committed themselves to meals. Why meals? Well, they didn't have drive-through then, so it wasn't this quick grab-go, scarf-it-down thing. Meals were and are, in that part of the world, they're a time to come together as family, to talk, to share. It's intimate. It's honoring to the guest to be invited into somebody's home and to have that meal. And so they committed to that. And part of that was that final meal they had with Jesus, right? What we call the Lord's Supper, and which we practice and what we're going to do at the end here. But they committed to that. And then finally, the ultimate picture of convergence is prayer. Prayer isn't some religious practice that we engage in saying, you know, just words. It's a conversation between God and us as we talk to each other and as we listen to each other and as we be, it's being with each other. And that's what they committed to. These were the things. And you see, here's the thing. The church is actually a beautiful picture of what's to come. It's actually depicted in Revelation. Revelation, it is. These are the words in Revelation 21. And it says this. Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them. That's the church. That's what the church is supposed to be. That's what we commit to. That's convergence. It's the mission that God is on. It's actually the mission he's on. And the purpose of the mission is for all of creation to be one with God, which is shalom, peace. That's the mission God is on, has been on, and is on. And the driver behind that mission is, of course, love. God's love for his creation, God's love for humanity, God's love for you, and God's love for me. That's what drives it. That's why God does it. Listen, for those who are watching this morning, God has turned towards you. God has turned towards me. And what God is wanting to know is, will you turn towards God? Will you? And allow that convergence to take place, because it's what we're wired for. We're wired for that love relationship with the creator of this universe. Because when we turn to God, when we converge, we experience this place of forgiveness and mercy and compassion and a love that you'll never encounter amongst one another. There's something about God's love that is so deep, so rich. And God's love being poured out for all of humanity started when Jesus sat down. And actually, let me back up here. God's love being poured out for humanity actually began back in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, when the relationship was broken and God started to pursue humanity. And the whole overarching story of Scripture is this pursuit that God is on. But where you see it culminate, and we do say that it culminated in the cross, but I would even back up and say it culminated there when they had the Lord's Supper, because John records, you know, the whole broader picture, what took place there in the room where they had the Last Supper there with Jesus, where he washed their feet, where he served them, where he broke the bread, where he shared the wine. Right. It was, that's where you begin to see, because what was happening there was Jesus was offering himself. Jesus was going to become the Passover lamb. Jesus was going to be the one to make where love would just be, the forgiveness of sins would take place. And God and his son Jesus entered on this. So what you see on the cross is God entering into our pain, into our suffering of the world that takes place here, and even entering into the ultimate, which is death. But love always has the last word, right? It always does. It always has the last word. And love resurrected. That's what love did. So today we're going to be taking part in communion. And communion is a beautiful, beautiful picture of convergence taking place, where we become one with God. Well, we already are, but it's a reminder for us that we are one with God. God's one with us. Here's a beautiful thought for you. Do you realize what Jesus was praying in John 17 when he prayed to the Father, that we would be one with him as Jesus is one with the Father? The very relationship that Jesus has with his Father, Jesus desires for us to have with him and for us to have with the Father, and just this whole beautiful, beautiful love relationship that Jesus prayed for, longs for, that we have. So we're just going to go into a time of communion right now. Well, I'm so glad that you can be a part of this. I hope you're able to get your something to drink, and also some bread or cracker or a bagel or muffin or something that you can have. It really, again, it really doesn't matter what it is you use. What matters is you understand the significance of what took place there in the room where the disciples met with Jesus. And John records in his gospel that Jesus loved them to the full. And so as we come here, one of the things I want you to take away today, we've been speaking about convergence, about God turning towards us and as we turn towards God. And there's something significant in when Jesus offers the bread, which is his, he says, is his body given for us. That's the sacrifice for us. And he has them drink the wine, which represents his blood poured out for us. And there's something about a convergence that takes place when we take the life of Jesus, and take it into ourselves, take it into us, representing the new life within us, representing the sacrifice that Jesus did for us on the cross. That is very, very significant. So let me just pray before we go into this. Father, we thank you for being able to come together, albeit virtually, but we thank you, Father, that we are part of this larger family around the globe who follows you, who loves you, who is pursuing you as you have pursued us. And so, Father, as we come before you, we think of your body and your blood that was poured out for us, your body that was given to us as a sacrifice. You became the Lamb. It's what John the Baptist declared when he saw you coming towards him, that behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so for this, Father, we're forever grateful. So at this time, Jesus, it's recorded in all the Gospels that Jesus took the bread, he broke it. And this whole, it can represent many things. One of the key things it represents is it represents Jesus taking his body, his life, and giving it to us, sharing it with us, so that we have new life. But Luke records in chapter 22 that he says, he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So as we eat this bread together, Let's remember that Jesus became our Passover lamb. It was God's plan all along. It's his love gift to us. So let's take remembering the ultimate love that God expressed through Jesus on the cross. Let's eat the bread and remember. It's interesting, in the book of Hebrews, the writer there reminds the readers that when Jesus gave his life, when he became the sacrifice, everything was looked after once for all. It was one sacrifice for all time. We are forgiven. The world is forgiven. God has turned towards us. Luke then goes on to record that it says that after supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you." This is his life given to us in exchange for our life. We receive his lifeblood in us. We are new creatures created in Christ Jesus. So let's drink the cup together, remembering that his blood was poured out for the forgiveness of your sins and for mine. Let's drink together. Convergence. Know for a fact that God is with us, that God is with you. Make it a point each day when you get up or sometime during the day, turn towards God. Recognize him. Recognize his presence with you. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for the provision of your body and your blood. We thank you, Father, that you loved us to this extent, that you are our provider in all things. And Father, it has been done. It is what Jesus said on the cross. It is finished. And we thank you for that. And Father, we dare to step into this life of resurrection, this life that is new, that Lord, we are saints. Not saints because of any perfection on our part, but saints because of what you've done to bring us into your family. And so, Father, we thank you for that. And we just pray, I just pray a blessing on everyone who is watching this right now. And I just pray, Father, as we go through this week, as we go through the next few weeks, the next few months, not knowing, but knowing for sure that we have converged with you, that we are one with you as you are with us. And we bless you. We thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Well, bless you guys. You have a good week. Know that God is one with you, one with us, that we are a family. So bless you guys. We'll talk to you later.